Are you dehydrated?
Be honest, are you? You probably are, and that's no good because we all know hydration affects your energy, your mood, your sleep, your skin, hunger, digestion, literally all the bodily functions. Water does it all.
That's why you need to get your hands on a Hydro Jug. These durable and reusable jugs hold a half gallon of water, so you will stay hydrated all day long.
I actually did the water calculator that they have on their website, and I found out that for my body and activity level, I need 3/4 of a gallon of water per day, which I know I'm just not getting when I'm having a glass of water here and there. So having a Hydro Jug means that you can stay hydrated more and refill less.
Hydro Jugs have leak-proof seals, so they will never spill. They have wide mouth openings, so you can add ice or fruit, whatever you want. An integrated handle that makes it super easy to carry, and cute sleeves with a pocket that can hold your phone or your keys.
There are also 40 different custom options, so you can choose your perfect Hydro Jug. Personally, I love the stainless steel ones for a super sleek look.
Get your Hydro Jug at thehydrojug.com, and you can use discount code GOALS to get 10% off your order today. Hydro Jugs are game changers for anyone on the go.
Again, use code GOALS at thehydrojug.com to get 10% off and start hydrating today. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts,
Anne Catherine
and Caroline.
Today, we're going to be talking about genetics and fitness, body image, how it all comes together, because that's something that I've been thinking about while I'm working out a lot recently, and something that Carol and I have talked about a lot because we have very similar genetics, but we'll get into like our differences, but obviously genetically, we're super similar, so we do find the same things like when working out. Quad dominance has been a huge thing that we've talked about recently, and one thing that I found was super interesting is with all the studies and like research that I was doing preparing for this episode, so many of the studies were done using twins.
Yeah, I took a psych course the past semester, and twin studies, I've learned, I didn't really know that before, are so common. Like, it's they so do cool. So much with twins,
but especially with fitness, they would like have twins follow same workout programs and see like the similarities and differences. Cool. And
yeah, because I mean, there's different things that go into your fitness, your body image. We talk a lot about mindset. We talk a lot about the training, but then there's also this genetic side. And like, we get into more of the science a little bit when we talk about training and nutrition, but we've never dived into genetics and how that all plays a role into it. And it's also something that neither of us were like super experts on, and even now we aren't, but we've been really interested in it recently and learning more about it, and thought that we could share that with you guys.
So before we get into the specific details, let's do our little recap. This week, I don't know if we've talked about this on Instagram, but I know we talked about we are trying new gyms. Obviously, we're in a new country, new location. We have a gym in our apartment.
Yeah, we've been in Singapore for a week, and we've pretty much been using the apartment gym most days.
Which is great because it, you know, has dumbbells up to, like, 45 pounds.
It's all in kilograms, so it's even know.
20 kilograms, I'd round it up. So, we have dumbbells. It's good for upper body, cardio, some treadmills. We can do outdoor runs. I've been swimming more. I talked to you guys about that last week. And, of course, we have the jungle gym, which has been great. So, upper body, we're good. We're solid on upper body here. The only thing is, with, like, lower body stuff, if we want to keep our strength up
where it has been,
which I miss a barbell. Obviously we want to do, and like I just miss a barbell. I miss even a barbell on upper body so days much. I miss a barbell, so we need a gym for that, right? Because our gym here doesn't have a barbell, and there is like really only so much you can do with dumbbells.
There's a lot you can do with dumbbells. There's a lot you can do with dumbbells. I would say when you've been training
like
with
heavy,
a barbell heavy. And you've worked that weight up to that, like you just want that sometimes. Like I can totally do a routine with dumbbells and like get effective workouts in and have a good time, but like I just miss a barbell when that's the way that I'm used to pushing my body sometimes. So
right. So we have been looking for other gyms. The problem is they're so expensive.
They're wildly expensive. They're so expensive. Here.
And, you know, understanding that I want to swim a couple, like, I want to swim, I want to run, I want to do workouts upper body here at this gym.
Yeah. If we get a membership at another gym that we have to walk to, we're not sure that we're going to go there every single day and we don't want to feel guilty about staying home for a day, going for a run or a swim
or the jungle gym. When it's literally $200 a month.
Literally $200.
If something was $200 a month, like, I would be there every single day for, like, the entire, like, I would.
It would need to be $200
a month is obscene.
I decided that maybe the only thing that would justify $200 a month is that if every day after my workout, they handed me the best smoothie in the world and then gave me a 30-minute massage. Complimentary. That would be, like, the only thing that would make it worth it. That's not actually what happened.
So, it was, like, we've tried one gym so far, and we have a list of gyms that we want to try.
Yeah, we only got to one this week, though.
We're trying to narrow it down. But the $200 really just threw us all off.
Yeah, see, here's the thing.
Threw us for a loop.
We said this week, like, we would try a new gym every day, and then we went and walked to a gym on Monday, and then we had a couple days where we just stayed home because we were like, well, we can do upper body and cardio here. And then we didn't want to go back to a gym until it was time for lower body with a barbell. So, like, I don't want to feel guilty way overpaying somewhere if I really only need it for the barbell two or three times a week. So that's kind of the predicament that we're in.
So even we're trying to find inexpensive options and it's like $100 a month, which is still more than, like, in the US, Equinox, which is like the pinnacle of expensive gyms is like $170, just for reference. So, like, a cheap one that we're looking at is like $100, which is
it's just expensive. So
much. But
we're trying one on Saturday that I think might end up being pretty good. They were very nice and welcoming to me when I went, so I have high hopes for that. So we'll see. That's Saturday.
Shall see. But we did the. Going to that gym that we tried was actually really nice because in the U.S., like, when we're in New Hampshire, we work out at home, and it's great. It's perfect. It's everything we need. We don't have fun machines, though. And even at school, like, our gym in Boston, I don't think I used machines.
Yeah, it's big, but they don't have, like, fun machines.
Fun machines. Anyway, so this gym that we tried had a hack squat, and I think that was the only machine that we used. But I've never used one before. Hack squat, if you don't know, it's like the...
It's like a squat machine.
Squat machine?
Like, you stand on the platform.
Kind of on an angle. And you can adjust your feet and, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of comes at you from the front and rests on your shoulders.
Right, it's kind of like a front squat machine.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of, but it, like, goes on your shoulders, so, I don't know. It's like, in between a front and a back squat, maybe?
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. But that was super interesting. And
that
I guess,
was fun.
But was it worth $200?
Absolutely not. Nothing about it made it worth $200. It was kind of absurd. They were also very pressury there. We didn't feel very welcome because, like, we walked in, we asked if we could have a trial, and they just, like, immediately sat us down with forms and tried to get us to sign up.
Paperwork.
And we were
like, and I was like,
well, could we have, like, a day trial to check it out first?
Can I at least, like, get a tour?
Yeah, like, can we get a tour or something? So they let us work out, and then after, just, like, threw the forms in our face again, and he was like, okay, sign here to sign up. And we were like, well, how much is it? And he was like, $200. And we were like, whoa, we need to go home and talk about that. And he got all upset that we, like, weren't about to sign the paperwork right away. And I was like, you just lost my business because you were so unwelcoming. Even though I was not about to pay that anyways, now you super lost my business.
I'm super not going to pay that now.
You super lost
it. I was like, online, because I looked it online. Obviously, if it said $200 online, like, we wouldn't have gone and tried it out because that just wasn't realistically, like, we're not going to be paying $200. Like, I don't want to be paying $200 a month out of my pocket. Like, I would much rather use that elsewhere. And it said something like, 100 to 150, which is still a lot of money, but it's like that's just the range that we're in here. But they didn't tell us the price until after, when they had us, like, try and sign paperwork. Anyway,
my
it was
mom
a whole
was
thing.
Literally talking to me, and she was like, well, could you buy a barbell for the apartment gym? And I was like, you think that they would let us
you think
buy
that,
a
actually
barbell
our foam rollers down
there?
There
I don't yeah but I think it's different to leave a foam roller in there than to just, like, bring an entire
just,
squat,
like,
rack in there, and then you have to pay for the weights too. Like, it actually would end up being an expensive
that's
endeavor,
true. Right,
and I don't think they would even let us do
that.
But
anyway, so that's what we've been up to, trying to find new gyms.
This morning we went to a wet market.
That is so true. We got so many good fruits and some vegetables, and at a wet market, so, like, outdoor market of fruits, vegetables, meat, fish.
Yeah, because we talked last week about our first grocery trip, and
which was horrendous, if you guys remember.
It's just a lot, like, grocery shopping in a new country. You don't know where things are coming from. You don't know what some things are and all of that.
You just need to, like, you need to figure out what brands you like and all of those things.
Exactly. But another really cool thing that they have in a lot of countries in Asia and probably other places in the world our wet markets, which are like outdoor markets, like stands with fruits and vegetables and like in Captain Zed fish and meat. Like if you think that the fish section at a grocery store smells bad, then you have not been in a wet market because you're literally just walking through lines of like meat and fish.
That is so true. I kind of forgot because how that like just doesn't faze us.
Stanky and fishy, stanky and fishy.
Stanky and fishy. That was at a, like our old grocery store in Hong Kong. Like there was a mini one like in the grocery store and it would just smell like fish everywhere.
We got a bunch of fruits and vegetables. We ventured a little bit and we got prawns. So, like shrimp to cook.
I am so excited for them. They're gigantic. They're like, so large.
They're big boys.
And I got at the grocery store the other day, I got some like rice wraps for some fresh rolls. I'll probably like, it's interesting. So I'll make it into a video. Or of course, I'll share it with you guys on Instagram, TikTok.
If you make fresh rolls.
If I make fresh rolls. I will. I'll probably make them. I was going to make them for lunch today, but it is noon and I just ate eggs and I don't really want to get into a whole like cooking thing, so right. We'll see what I end up making for lunch.
We had I cut up so much fruit though. We got back and I cut up so much fruit for breakfast. We had papaya, love papaya, star fruit, passion fruit, mango.
Love passion fruit.
This other
mangosteen.
I asked the guy at the wet market. I said, I tried speaking Chinese because I've been forgetting so much, and I said, Ni zui xu huan shema shui guo, which is, what's your favorite fruit? And he said, this mangosteen is the queen of fruits. And Catherine and I thought it was just okay. Like, it was like, it just kind of like existed.
Right. Well, I think the point is that like, it's supposed to balance. So durian is the king of fruits. And it's supposed to balance out the flavors.
Yeah, I guess maybe it was like a mild, like barely there flavor.
Right. And I think it's supposed to just be there to balance out the durian.
So we tried some cool fruits this morning, some new things that we haven't had before. We got a dragon fruit. And usually when we get dragon fruit, it's white dragon fruit.
We normally get the white ones.
And we cut it open and it was pink and I wasn't even expecting it. And it's so bright, like I want to get another and cut it up and freeze it and use it for smoothies because it would just be like the bright pink, incredible color. So that was also an exciting thing we did. I don't know. It's been a week. This week has gone by really
fast.
It's
been a week,
personally.
We've seen a few people, gone to dinner a few times.
Yes, we've made at least one friend, guys.
We have one friend,
guys. We've made at least one friend. But we've hung out with some different people, and hopefully this weekend is fun as well. I don't exactly know what we'll do. I think we're going, our dad wants to go on a big
god,
bus tour
so
later
into
today.
It. No,
I'm kind
been,
of,
oh my god.
I kind of understand.
Why?
Well, because
that's my absolute least favorite thing to do. Like, if you said to anyone, what would Anne Catherine's least favorite thing to do be? And it's probably
a bus tour.
A bus tour is up there. That just is like, oh my god, I can't even describe how much I do not want to go.
Really?
It
but
seems
listen,
like the dumbest,
think about it, think about
most
it.
Irritating thing
no, stop.
Ever.
Get that out of your head and be happy about it because you understand. But with that, like, when you just, like, walk around and you live, you're kind of only in your area and you don't really have a big picture of, like, what the whole country and the whole city is. Like, I think doing this in the first couple weeks and just, like, taking a bus tour around the whole place, then you have this big map picture in your head of what everything is. And so now, when you, like, continue to live...
It's called being observant. Look around.
Yeah, but you haven't been everywhere. You've only been able to be observant in your area. So I actually think that this is a cool idea because then we get to see new things.
You build up those observations as you go, naturally.
No, because... But you're only... I think it's a good idea because you'll get the whole tour of the place and you'll see things that you haven't seen and places that you want to explore.
I get no say in this activity.
It's what we're doing this afternoon.
Okay, so we've talked about how you can't, like, spot reduce. We've talked about genetics with abs and kind of, you know, your beginning body composition. But let's get into some more specific genetics and, like, working out while understanding your genetics.
For the past year, I feel like I've been at a bit of a plateau, but I realize it's because I haven't changed any of my actions or my viewpoint on health and fitness. So this year, I'm going to be more intentional with my training and with everything that I put into my body. I'm really looking forward to finally making some changes, and adding Hecate to my health regimen is going to help me push towards my goals. Run by and created for athletes, urban explorers, and everyday hustlers, Hecate has set out to revolutionize mental and physical health with the power of functional mushrooms. Their Star Power adaptogenic cocoa and capsules contain equal parts lion's mane, cordyceps, shaga, and reishi mushrooms to improve focus, cardiovascular performance,
whole body protection from inflammation, and to help fight fatigue and stress. Hecate's mushrooms are organic, third-party lab tested, vegan, gluten-free, and safe for sport. For all of our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase and free shipping across the U.S., Canada, and Europe using the code Caroline20. So that's Hecate, H-E-K-A-T-E, and you can use Caroline20 for 20% off and free shipping on your first purchase.
So genetics play into so many different things with working out, body type, body image. So of course your just like structure, your distribution, set point is something that we'll get into. You know, genetics determine your metabolism, how much natural strength you have, you know, how much strength you're starting with, and then your aerobic ability, your VO2 max, how much oxygen your body can utilize, you know, proneness to injury. It goes so deep. Genetics go so deep.
And I think it's cool to understand genetics and learn more about it because it's kind of this balance between understanding what you can really control about your health and about your physique through fitness and nutrition, but then also understanding that there are some things that are just genetically predispositioned. Like, there are things that are just already determined about your body, so it kind of helps you understand, like, I can control these things to a certain point and create my healthiest, best body, but I can't just, like, morph into some random person's body because there are things that are determined for me based on my genetics that I can't control. There are things that you can, and there are things
that you
can't.
So there's a lot that is set, but there is a lot that you can control and that you do have complete control over. And we'll get into this more, but just to preface before we get into everything, there are so many foundations of health and fitness that are true for everyone. And so these are the things that we talk about in episode 5, the fitness episode. These, like, the things that we talk about answering double take questions, all of these things that we share with you, advice, tips, these are things that we know to be true for everyone. So some of these things are like, you know, energy in versus energy out. That's what's going to determine weight gain, weight loss. You know, a fact for every single person, that's the same. Your metabolism, that's where that stuff kind of starts to vary. We know that protein is great and protein helps repair and rebuild muscle tissue. We know that carbs are your body's first choice of energy. We know that fats help carry micronutrients throughout your body. Like, we know these things are true for everyone. But it's when you get into the specific genes and, you know, all your DNA that we see some differences in as you go deeper within those topics.
Yeah, so like Catherine said, with this energy balance, we know that if you're consuming more calories than your body's burning, your body is going to gain weight and vice versa. However many calories your body burns, a lot of that can be based on just your body's natural metabolism, whereas some people's bodies naturally burn more than others.
Right, so fast metabolism means your body exerts more energy.
Exactly.
Than and someone else.
And a huge piece of that, like, there are a lot of factors that go into that, like your history with exercise and nutrition, like hormones, like things like that, but it's also genetic, you know? Some people naturally have faster metabolisms than others. And then when it comes to protein, like we said, how protein can prioritize fat loss and prioritize lean muscle maintenance and growth, that is something that's a true blanket statement. However, different people's bodies are going to pull fat from certain areas more easily than others. So that's another thing where it's
and that's
like,
what we've talked about with, like, you know, I was talking to my mom about this the other day. Some people, I feel like a common body type is, like, some people store fat on their stomach and not a lot on their arms and legs. Other people store a lot on their legs, but not as much around their stomach. That's just genetics. That's how you are built. And then when you go to that, you know, energy surplus or deficit, that's when you're gaining or losing weight. That's going to happen, like, blanket across your whole body. So even though you're losing fat, it's not like it's going to pull, you're not going to lose fat from, like, just your stomach if you store more on your stomach.
Right. So say you had two women and one of them genetically stored more fat around their stomach, and then woman B genetically, their body liked to store fat in, like, the hips and the legs. When each of those people, if they follow the same workout routine, the same diet, and it's one that's set up to help them lose fat and maintain muscle, they're not going to look the same in that process because one of their bodies is pulling fat from the stomach first, while another body is pulling fat from the legs first. So they may have the same amount of fat on their bodies, but genetically, each of their bodies likes to store that in different places, right. And they're not going to look the same because of that.
If one wants to look like the other, losing fat isn't going to achieve that. And because also, you look like what you look like, and you can become slight like variations and build upon that, but you can't completely change that body structure.
And also in that same scenario, if these two women worked out exactly the same and ate the exact same diet, the effects would still be different because, like we said, people's metabolisms are naturally just different. So even if you're consuming the same amount of food, the same exact food, and even if in your workouts you're doing the same things and you're expending the same energy, one body might just naturally have a higher metabolism. The basal metabolic rate, a BMR,
like
is
your baseline metabolism.
Yeah, so that is what a person's body burns when they do nothing else. So if you just like existed as a vegetable, that is your basal metabolic rate, and that accounts for about 60% of your total daily energy expenditure or calorie burn. So even if two people have the same physical activity and are burning the same amount with their physical activity, the basal metabolic rate, which is 60% of what you totally burn, could be different just based on your metabolic rate. So for that reason, even if you're working out the exact same and consuming the exact same, someone still could be burning more than another person, and therefore the results are different. And like we said before, your body may pull fat or store fat differently, and therefore there would still be differences there. So that's why you see a lot online, or hopefully you do if you're on the right side of fitness TikTok and fitness Instagram, you see people saying, even if you ate and worked out the exact same as this person, you are not going to just have their body. You're not going to look exactly like them. And
you can look and feel amazing for you and be healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to look completely different than someone else.
Right.
Like, you can both have fit, healthy bodies. It's just not going to be the exact same body. So this genetics and, you know, variability between people and all of this stuff, that's not an excuse for you to just say, oh my God, it's genetics. Like, I'm not even going to try anymore. Because that's not true. You have so much control
over building your best, healthiest,
strongest
body.
Ability. Genetics are just a fact. Like, it's not good or it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's just a fact.
Right. And I think that there are two ways to kind of take the, if you work out and eat the exact same way as someone else, you're not going to just automatically have their body. And that is that you and another person, like, might still be able to follow the exact same routine and thrive off the exact same routine. That's not to say that someone can't suggest a workout routine or some of their favorite recipes and eating habits to you, and that's not going to work for you.
Right. That goes back to, like, basics are the basics, and their foundations are pretty much the same for everybody.
Like, you and somebody else may thrive off the exact same workout routine, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to have identical bodies,
you're not
going to
have the same results at the same rates at the same,
exactly.
You know, there's that slight variation, but that's because you are your own person.
Right. And then I think the other side of that is, if you just see somebody and you like their body, just saying, like, oh my God, you see it all the time. There's a TikTok of, like, any pretty girl or any skinny person ever, and the comments are just flooded with,
what's the workout routine? Like, shut up.
What do you eat? What's the workout routine? Drop the ab routine, all that stuff. And it's like, one, that person may just be genetically predispositioned to look that way. They might know nothing about fitness, and they might not even be healthy at all, maybe. But even if they do, just copying their routine is not going to morph you into them. It's going to potentially, if it actually is a effective science-backed routine, it may help you build your healthiest, best body, but it's not just going to morph you into them. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, is like, they see somebody and they're like, oh, you have, in this specific TikTok video, you have flat abs and I like the way that your abs look, what's your ab routine? And then this person responds and says, I do 50 crunches a day, every day, and that's all that I do, and that's what gets me abs. That's
not gonna do it for everyone.
Sure, maybe that's all they do, but then that means that your genetics might be wildly different from theirs, because I know that if all I did was, like, just 50 crunches every day, like some nothing people say, like, nothing would happen to me. Physically, like, that's not how my body thrives. That's also not how I feel good, because right. I feel good when I'm active and I consistently actually work out. That's, like, how I feel my best, but that's just not it. Like, any person can't just spit out a routine and then you try to copy it and think that you're going to morph into their body. That is just so
it's not probably reality. A great thing to do, because activity is activity, right? But
right.
if you're going for a certain goal or you want a certain effect, then don't expect their same effects. Something super interesting is that there's a study by Henry Chung with Angela Ruskin University. This is in the UK. And they found that genes can explain up to 72% of the difference in outcome between people after a specific exercise. So that's the variability that we're talking about. With if two people did the same exercise, same thing, there's going to be a difference. So of that difference, 72%, up to 72%, can be explained by genetics. The other percent could be maybe someone was going slightly harder, maybe someone like had a bit more water, a lot... other things. But most of the difference in effects of a workout routine, the same workout routine, two people, were likened to genetics, which is super interesting.
And when you say difference, you mean difference in the results and the effects from doing that exercise and workout?
The difference, so of that workout, take the variation in effects between. So
two the variation people, of what though? The variation of in the moment what they're doing in no. their form, or the variation no. of the effects afterwards?
So two people do the same workout routine. Afterwards, the effects of that workout is measured.
Okay, gotcha.
Of that measurement, 72% of the difference in those two measurements
is because of
their genetics.
Yeah, not because... So two people could do the exact same leg day routine... And, you know, maybe one pushed slightly harder than the other, but most of the difference in the results is based on their genetics.
Right. And that's not to say that one had a better workout, one had a worse workout. That's just to say that there are differences.
Mm-hmm.
And Cambridge University went deeper with this, and they targeted 13 specific genes. So of all of your DNA genes, all of it, there are 13 specific genes that... are linked to those differences. So it's really interesting that you can see exactly like what the variations are, that there's an actual tangible explanation and understanding of the variations. I couldn't tell you what the genes are because I'm not a scientist, but I just still think it's super interesting that you can trace differences and variations back to actual genetics. So can you outtrain genetics? Quick answer before we get into our explanation. No. You can train with genetics, you can train, you can work out, you can do whatever you want, but your genetics are your genetics. Like, you can't...
There's no amount of training, or there's no type of training or nutrition that can change your genetics. But what you can do is you can work with your genetics and work with your body to make changes. So what I mean by that is, like, there are things that you cannot control. You cannot control your bone structure. Like, I cannot control that I have narrow set hips that make it so that...
She looks like a boy rectangle.
Whoa! I cannot change someone that, like, my bone structure is narrow and that I don't have, like, the most curve of a hip and that my legs are narrow enough that I could probably never have a thigh gap. Like, there are things that are just out of the control because of that. But what I can do is, if I want, I can grow my glutes. I can strengthen my legs to, like, make them feel like more of an asset, things like that. So you can work with your genetics, but there are things that you can't change. You can't change your height or, like, the length of your limbs. Like, you can't change the right. length of your arms and things like that. You also, while you can control maybe how much fat you have on your body and how much muscle you have on your body,
you can't change necessarily where that fat goes, where your body puts that.
So it's about not trying to...
And again, nothing is, like, good or bad. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and so I think it's kind of coming to the understanding that you're not going to change your genetics, so why fight them and try to push your body to do things that it's just physically not going to do? And why not instead work with your genetics to like make those things assets and make them pluses and just build the healthiest, fittest, strongest body that you can out of the body that you have?
So another study, we talked about this in the beginning of the episode, but this is from the European College of Sports Science, and there are a ton of different studies that prove the exact same thing. But basically, 40% of your body potential is predetermined, pre-established by your genes. So your genetics control kind of 40% of your body and your body's potential with fitness and nutrition and health and all of that. 60% though, which the majority, is completely in your control. So 60% you have control over. That 60% means if you train, if you work out and you progressive overload, you lift heavier, you can get stronger, right? You, if you run and you set a running program and you stick with it, you can run faster and farther, and all these things are totally in your control. So 60%, looking at it from just like a body aesthetics kind of perspective, 60% of what your body looks like is in your control. 40% is predetermined by your genes, which we've already said, it's not good or bad, it's just how it is. 60%, that's all you.
And then the same goes for how your body can perform. Like, we all know people who are just athletically inclined by nature. They're
like, naturally, I'm a better swimmer than Caroline. That doesn't mean she can't swim. Right. That just means, like, I'm a little bit faster. It comes a little bit easier to me. Like, our mom with tennis, mm-hmm. right? Like, she's just, I don't know, she's just better at tennis.
And, like, some people just naturally have more endurance than others or more strength than others.
Right, some people are born with a lot of muscular strength and muscular ability, just baseline strength. And some people are born with a lot more aerobic ability. Some people have higher VO2 maxes. That's just like, you know, how much oxygen your body takes in and can utilize. All just how it is.
But you shouldn't use those genetics as an excuse, because you can look at it from the two different perspectives. Think about somebody who is naturally has good endurance and is strong. Maybe they just think of that as like that's just what they are, whatever. They've always just naturally been good at it. So then because they've never had to work for it, then they never practice it. Maybe they never use that endurance and run, or they never try to build their strength or use their strength, because somewhat it's always come naturally to them. So it's just like not something that they do. But then you could have somebody who's naturally was not maybe like a great runner as a kid, didn't have that endurance, but they wanted to work for that for themselves. And so they practiced and they worked on it and they built it. And now they've become amazing and they've built this endurance up. And all of the practice and things that they had to do to get there have made them a really healthy, really strong person, because in a way they had to work for these things versus for the person that it came naturally to. And that's not to say like a lot of people, like athletic abilities come naturally to them and then right. they like still love it and they work at it. But some people might use that as an excuse. So that's not to say that it's like better if you're naturally athletically inclined, because it doesn't really matter all that much whether you're athletically inclined like by nature or not, because what matters is like then what you do every day with it, if you're working for mm-hmm. it and if you're continuing to
right,
do it.
Right, you can also just think of your genetic ability as a baseline. Like, besides your baseline, then people have the same capacities and the same drive to improve and get better and put similar amounts of energy. Like, it's just a baseline of, it's just where you're starting. Your genetics in this sense are just mm-hmm. starting points.
And that's again why it's you versus you. It should never be you in competition with anyone else or you comparing yourself to anyone else, because there are so many things that just by nature are different between you and anyone else. So all you should be comparing to is, how are you doing compared to past versions of yourself? How are you doing versus you yesterday and you last week and you last month? Not the random person next to you at the gym, not somebody in your class at school, not somebody who's like on the sports team with you, because you're not the same person. There are so many differences between you two that it's just not fair to compare yourself to somebody who is naturally different than you. You should be comparing yourself to your own progress.
Right. So then training with genetics just put more emphasis on you, where you started, where you're going, what you want to do, because you really, like, you can't compare. Pistol squats, we've talked about this before, but Crown and I, we both have very similar amounts of strength. We both lift similar amounts with, like, talking about lower body right now. And we lift similar upper body, too. Can you pay attention?
I'm just basking in the sun for a moment.
I look over, Kat has her head, like, tilted back so it fits into the sun coming in the window right now. Anyway, but, like, I can do pistol squats. Caroline simply cannot. No matter how hard she tries, she physically cannot. And it's not a matter of strength, because our strength isn't super different. But it's just because, I don't know, her body doesn't, like, exist that way.
Similarly, I other think I can do more chin-ups than Catherine can. So.
So.
And that's also that. Based on also, practice as well.
Right. One time, so when I learned I could do pistol squats, it was, like, a whole thing for a while. And everywhere we would go, like, I would be, like, can you, like, people would just be doing pistol squats, and we'd see who can do a pistol squat and who couldn't, because I thought it was so interesting that I could, Caroline couldn't. And people that had a lot of strength, like, worked out a lot, that maybe you would expect, like, oh, strong, you could do a pistol squat, couldn't. And then people that weren't super strong could, and that's just because, like, people's bodies and, like, joints move differently. With that, other thing, oh, quads. This is where it all started, with our talk about genetics. Caroline and I genetically are quad dominant, and let me tell you, like, the Kneen genes for quads stay so relevant. And recently I've been feeling, like, every exercise I do, hip thrusts, feel nothing in my glutes, burning in my quads, like squats, quads, deadlifts, I still utilize my quads, like, more than you would expect, right? But that's just because my body pulls strength from my quads. So recently, when I've been trying to target glutes or hamstrings or other muscles than my quads, it's been really difficult to engage them, or engage them more than I do my quads if I'm trying to target that one muscle. So I've had to figure out and try out different ways to engage my glutes over my quads, or to kind of target muscles over my quads because of that quad dominance. So for me, now I'm gonna start doing more hip thrusts with my heels elevated, because that helps you push through your heels, utilize your glutes, and even with my back on the floor, because having your back lower than your knees is gonna help you pull from your quads less. So that's a modification that you can do if you're quad dominant and you want to target your glutes. But there are all these things that it helps when you understand genetics to kind of tailor specific little things to you and what you want to do. So all of this to say that there's something that you want and it's genetically supported.
Possible for your body.
Possible for your body. That's amazing. Go off, like, go do it. For example, if you are super, like, if your aerobic ability is super strong, go off, like, go run, do your thing, keep going, that's amazing. If you're not, if you have a lower aerobic ability and you still want to run or do a lot more cardio, then it's going to take more effort and more time to work up to that, but that doesn't mean you can't. It just means that understanding yourself can help you get to the places you want to go.
And then in terms of your actual body composition, kind of understand the role that your genetics play so that you have realistic goals for yourself and goals that are actually attainable based on your genetics and your natural body. And then you can set realistic goals for yourself in making the strongest, healthiest body, like, that you are most confident in. Because I understand that, like, aesthetics and the way your body looks, as much as we want to say, like, it's not the most important thing, and it's not the most important thing, like,
but it is, you feel confident
when you're in a body that feels aligned with you. What you can't do is have these unrealistic goals that don't align with the way that your body is built. So if you focus on taking the way that your body is built and then creating your healthiest, strongest body that makes you feel confident, that is the goal. The goal is not to try to copy somebody else's that isn't meant for you.
And with that, welcome to the double take.
Woo!
Guys, our first double take in so long.
Our first double take of 2022.
First double take of 2022. So many questions.
We asked these questions on the podcast Instagram. If you aren't already following, it's @girlswithgoalspod. You should hop on over there. We're very active. It's like a shared account.
with us, and that is typically where we collect these double take questions from as well. The first question is, do you guys have boyfriends?
Nope.
No.
Absolutely not.
Next question.
What do you do if you aren't seeing results in the gym? Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're doing, but if you're doing the right things.
It takes a long time to see, like, major results.
Here's the thing. We get discouraged when we don't see results super quickly, and then we give up, and then a few weeks later, we try again, and then the same thing happens, and we give up, and we never actually make progress. Whereas if you commit for a longer period of time and you waited it out, then you would actually get there faster than if you kept giving up because you didn't see overnight progress. With that being said, if you've been, you know, sort of at a plateau for a very long time not seeing any changes, then it's maybe time to, like, evaluate what you're doing and make some changes with that. Make sure if you're lifting, which lifting is key to making those, like, physique changes, make sure if you're lifting that you're progressively overloading, which means that you're improving in different ways over time, because that's going to help your body, like, not plateau and continue to improve. So that means you're increasing weight over time, you're increasing reps over time, you're improving your form. Like, there are a lot of different ways to progressively overload. So make sure you're doing things like that. And then also look at your nutrition. Are you eating enough protein? Have you been in a deficit for way too long that maybe you need to take a break from that to kind of let your body and your metabolism recalibrate? So those are some different things to look at if you do feel like you've been at a plateau for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts on the 80-20 rule for eating? I don't think there needs to be, like, rules around eating, but the whole point of it is just saying, I'm gonna eat healthy.
And balanced.
And that's another thing, that eating healthy, it's become such a negative and, like, diet and more like a forced thing, right? When that's honestly just, like, is the right way of eating. And the 80-20 rule just implies that I'm gonna eat healthy, I'm gonna eat in ways that make me feel good, that make me feel energized, that make me be able to do all the things I want to do. And part of that is also if I go out for dinner or, like, a birthday, or if I just want something that's maybe not deemed
super
healthy, super nutrient dense, then I'll eat it. Right? The whole 80-20 rule is just giving
it's kind of like a mindset,
I feel like it's more of a visualization on balance.
Yeah, it's like this abstract vision of balance. And so I think that what's good about it is it's not like you're looking at every single thing and you're like, it has to add up to 80%, 20%. Because, like, no, that's not the thing. It's just the overall concept that, like, what matters is what you do consistently. That 80% of the time, what you're doing, what you're eating, those are the things that actually make the difference.
Right.
Then you have that 20% of flexibility that, you know, supports you in other ways, you know, makes you mentally happy during, like, some moments and things like that. So it's just kind of this, mm-hmm. like, concept of balance and flexibility, which is a good thing. So I'm in full support of the 80-20 thing. It's just kind of more so the vision of balance versus, like, I have to make everything add up to 80-20, which I don't think is ever the thing because no one's, like, actually doing
Right. Are you on Apple Podcasts?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
A lot of you guys are probably listening on Apple Podcasts, which if you are, please leave a quick rating and review. That actually helps us and supports us a lot. Spotify also just released reviews or ratings as well, just star ratings. So if you have that feature, dropping us a rating, leaving us a review, that really does help Girls With Goals get out to more people, and we really appreciate it.
And we love reading them.
We do love reading them if you, like, actually leave an Apple Podcast review, but even tapping the stars, you know, 5 stars if you will, we really appreciate that.
There are a lot of varying questions in here. What do you do when you constantly find yourself thinking about food or your next meal? Eat more, right? That's kind of a key to
mental hunger.
And eating more doesn't mean, like, you don't have to eat in a giant surplus, right? If that's not going to benefit you. Eating more is, like, maybe eat more for breakfast. Eat a more solid breakfast, and then you will be satisfied. Spend the rest of your time waiting for your next time to eat because you're already fulfilled. And by the next time that your body's hungry, like, satisfied again. And that'll just kind of ease the mental part of it.
Yeah, I think when that's happening, like, it's either hunger or something that I found is, like, it's maybe just kind of your brain's, like, safety thing. Or you aren't filling your life and your mind with other things. You know, if you have like other things that you're thinking about,
it's just like you're hyper-fixated on it.
Right, exactly. Like, I think that you can, one, make sure that like you're listening to your hunger cues, like when they are hunger cues. But if you just find that like all you're focused on is like food and your next meal and things like that, like you need to find other things to fill your brain with and fill your time and your day with, because you just kind of need to like take some of the mental focus off of that and replace it with other things.
A lot of questions about supplements and protein powder, and specifically one that says, what protein powders do you recommend? I find a bunch make my acne flare up. Acne correlation might just be
whey.
So dairy. Like more dairy. So try vegan protein powders, or the type of processing, you can get like a higher quality protein powder is gonna likely help that a little bit.
Yeah, I love adding protein powder to smoothies, to oatmeal, things like that, to like add protein to sort of breakfast things or dessert things and things like that, like or snacks throughout my day. It's like a good way to make a meal more well-rounded and to help you get protein. You can also have a protein shake right after a workout, because protein post-workout is really important. So I do think that, you know, having protein powders are really beneficial and can like really help anybody get more protein in throughout the day and make meals like that. I have been using vegan proteins for a while now, just like I find them easier on my stomach for digestive reasons. Because whey is dairy, it can be like kind of uneasy on some people's stomachs, and also just like the processing. So what I look for in a vegan protein, but also in a whey protein if you're sticking with whey, if you can find something that's like low temperature processed, things with less ingredients, more stripped down, if they have like so many additives and fillers and things, I try to stay away from that. So I found one in Singapore right now. It's an Australian brand. I'm not even sure what it's called, but it's what I've been using this past week. I actually like think it's pretty good. And like what I looked for is, I didn't want any like sugar alcohols and fake sugars, because those mess up my stomach. So if something has like a sort of sweetener in it, I try to go for stevia, because that's the more natural one, versus stevia's things like, yeah, versus things like erythritol and things like that, that are sugar alcohols and are just kind of chemicals. So I look for like for stomach and for health reasons, and likely for acne as well, things that have fewer additives are most natural. And then also, if you are experiencing acne and you think that it's a cause of that, it might be the dairy in the way.
Tips with soreness. I've been super sore just because we've been trying to find a new gym. So I've been trying out different types of workouts, and soreness comes from, you know, using your muscles in different ways than they're used to. So I've actually been experiencing a lot of soreness recently. With that, I've been foam rolling and stretching like crazy, and it's actually been super enjoyable and it's helped a lot. But also just water, eating your protein, time. Advice for letting people go in your life. I was talking to someone over DMs about this the other day, and I answered the question by just saying, like, if you have to ask that question, then you probably should be letting someone go, because
the right people in your life, you're not going to question, do I have to let them go? Like, think about how kind of crazy that is with somebody who is, like, actually a good person in your life. There would never be a question right about, do I need to cut them out? So if you're asking that question, then you're probably right.
But then now for the hard part. The part that I am so, so bad at is the actual, like, letting go of people. Whether that be, like, from your perspective or from, like, how do you let them know that,
right,
where your head's at? Like, that's the difficult part. You could, depending on the situation, like having an open and honest conversation, calmly, respectfully, nicely. I would hope that's something that both of you are comfortable with, but if you need to be letting someone go, then maybe not the most comfortable thing to do. So then you could just like phase them out of your life.
Exactly.
Just gradually.
I think unless somebody was, like, a key component of your life, unless they're, like, a best friend or something, like, there are a lot of situations where, you know, you can just drift apart from someone and you can kind of make it a natural transition. Mm-hmm. I will say that if somebody is, like, a best friend and
they decide that they want you out
drifting
of your life.
Drifting apart is not a thing.
Then you should have a conversation. Because we've, like, actually experienced that recently. Where
right,
there
that's
was
not respectful.
There was a friendship that, like, definitely should have had a conversation or something, and it didn't. And I, yeah, that's not respectful at all. But if somebody, if it's, like, not at that level and it's more casual and it doesn't feel like it requires, like, a breakup conversation or something like that, or something to work through if you've, like, made that decision, mm-hmm. that this is just not somebody I want around me, slowly, you know, or not slowly, like, whatever you want, right. but, like, phasing them out, drifting apart.
But also, if they're not getting it, because I've had so many situations where maybe, like, I just don't vibe with someone and I don't want to keep hanging out with them as much. It didn't, like, require a whole conversation. That would be a lot for this situation. But then if they kept, like, reaching out or wanting to make plans, then it was kind of a tough situation where having a conversation or verbalizing it was, like, a lot. But also going the drift apart route wasn't working. So in that situation, I think, I mean, the best thing to do in any situation is to be honest and open about what you're thinking.
And then for the other side of it, like, mentally letting somebody go from your head, because, like, actually stopping spending time with someone is one thing, but then, like, mentally to stop kind of giving them energy in your head or your thoughts and things like that, shifting focus to yourself. Like, you have this amount of energy that you can give, and now you're not giving it to that person anymore. Shift that focus to yourself and give positive energy to yourself. And also, you know, find more appreciation for the good people in your life around you. And because now you have this extra energy to give that you can give to others and you can give to yourself.
How did you choose your major and what careers do you want to do? Love the show. Thank you. And we're both international business majors, and we chose this separately, but basically we grew up in Hong Kong for our dad's job. He does international business type stuff, so we've always been exposed to that, and we've always really, you know, wanted to learn more, like, asking him questions about what he's doing, listen to meetings, like, we've always just been interested in the business side of things. Our mom is a nurse, so we've had exposure to the more, like, medical type stuff, and super interesting, but it's just not something that I personally would be super happy doing. But we always were super interested in, like, business, and even with, you know, there's a lot of stuff with the podcast that there's so much business behind it that we really enjoy.
And business also in the sense of, like, creating something. Like, right. I love marketing because right. it's, like, thinking of every aspect of the brand. Like, what's the brand voice? Like, what is your message? Things like that. Like, I love creating things like that. And we've always been very creative and entrepreneurial and mm-hmm. seeing ourselves in that
sense. We've
always
kind of had that mindset, as well as, you know, international business growing up abroad and traveling. We love having those experiences, especially through business and through work, and having it kind of ingrained in your life.
Yeah, and so I think that since then, I mean, I know speaking for myself, but I think we're both similar in this. Since we grew up, like, internationally for our dad's job, like, I always knew that I wanted to continue to experience the world, live internationally, travel, things like that. And I also felt, like, very entrepreneurial, like, I wanted to create something for myself, kind of be my own mm-hmm. boss, have a very flexible life and career. So honestly, what we're doing now is, like, a dream, because it's creating that flexible career, it's creating something for mm-hmm. ourselves and something bigger than ourselves. But also, I mean, I see it evolving and going in so many different ways, especially since we are getting international business degrees in marketing, in entrepreneurship, and
management.
learning so much along the way. I just see this continuing to evolve, and I see it being able to branch out in so many different ways. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. So to answer the second part of that question, what careers do you want after
school?
School is this, just bigger.
Exactly. And going in different directions.
Right, like, and making all of our, well, just, like, plans and dreams with this be able to actually happen. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed that episode and got some good stuff out of it.
Follow us on Instagram at Caroline Kinnean.
At Anne Catherine Kinnean, and our podcast account is at Girls With Goals Pod.
And our name's on TikTok as well. And we will see you next week.
Bye.